Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And it's Podcast Friday.
That's true. Wow. It doesn't feel like Thursday.
I know, but in the beginning of the week, we're like, this is the longest week ever. And here
I know,
we are.
Now, you know, now it's just flying by. I don't know if that's actually true, but we are here on Thursday, obviously talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But the more pressing development besides the episode was this video that is on social media this morning of, you know, paparazzi video person, you know, saw Tom Girardi in, it looks like a parking lot, and was asking him, he was with, you know, some, I don't know who he's with, but he's asking him, like, did Erica know? And the guy doesn't want him to answer the question. And Tom said, I think she does. It's, Tom does not look with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That video was very mean and, like, should not, like, he doesn't look well at all.
Right.
He,
like
I, oh God.
The words, the, if you just saw like a transcript, like a, if you just saw it like written down what he said, it would sound very, you know, like incriminating, or like it was really like, oh, he said, I think she does know. But watching the video,
it's like sad.
This, it's like very debatable whether he even really knows what is going on. Like, I don't, obviously I don't want to, you know, put words in his mouth or like, you know, guess too much on like his condition, but like, we haven't really seen him at all in the last like 2 years basically now. And like, he does not look, he doesn't look like he's in the same condition he was when we were seeing him on like last season of Beverly Hills.
Right. And like, obviously we'll get to the episode, but in the episode when Erica was saying how her grandmother went through this, like everyone knows allegedly what goes on once you put someone into a facility like that. And it like breaks you almost like that. You're right. That is not the top like that. It was just like, not, it was unfortunate to see, you know, obviously think people are going through worse things.
Yeah, I think you can be 100% like Tom did a lot, probably maybe did a lot of bad stuff, and these victims need their money and everything. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that it's like kind and considerate to like ambush a dementia'd old man in a parking lot and like try and ask him like a gotcha question on camera. And I do think like, I don't know the circumstances of this video being made, but like, it kind of sucks for Erica because like people are like, you know, that some people are going to take this and run with it and be like, Tom said Erica knew. And it's okay. I mean, I like, trust me, I'm not like over here, you know, campaigning for Erica, but like, I don't really think this video like
is a slam
indicates
dunk.
Anything.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if it would be admissible in court.
Right. It's like, well, Tom said it. Well, Tom doesn't know what planet he's on. So he might say a lot of things.
He's really old. I mean,
how old is he though? Is he like 82 or is he in the high 80s?
No, he's in the low 80s. He's like 81 or 82, something
he's
like
82.
That.
He's 82. Wow, that's weird that I just threw out 82 and he is 82.
82 is really old though.
I mean, yes and no. Yeah, yes, like to still be a lawyer, but like, if like someone's grandparent is 82, I feel like it's like low 80s is like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess compared to us, it's old.
I still think of 80s as really old. Like none of my grandparents live. I guess one of my grandparents lived to be 90, but like, I don't have any like 100-year-old relatives.
Right,
like
right. 82 I think 100 is old to old. Me.
It's all old. I mean, I'll be happy. Like, if I just like die on a beach when I'm 65, I'll be content.
Dylan, that's what? So sad.
Well, I mean, at this point, like, I'm not going to have enough saved to be retired for 30 years. So like, I might as well just like, I'll take one really nice vacation when I'm like in my 60s.
Right.
And you know,
okay.
If that's it, that's it.
Just like in 60s is pretty young. So I hope to everyone that you live longer than that. Also,
okay.
Yesterday, that's funny because I am always talking about retiring. I said it was like 1 o'clock, and I was like, we are half a day closer to retiring.
Wow. That's
we're
beautiful.
Like, almost same thing with today. Almost not quite halfway there, but it's 11 a.m.
Like
people on the East Coast.
You should start you should like set a reminder and every day at like 1 p.m. just put in our like company Slack channel, like, hey everyone, half a day closer to retirement.
That'd eventually be great for they'd company be like morale. Barry on the side, they'd be like, cut
Barry,
it,
so
cut
this
it out.
Is actually supposed to be for like work purposes.
It you is can do this. Technically.
You can just like tweet that. Hey everyone, half a day closer to retirement.
Hello world.
You scroll your Twitter feed and it's just that every single day.
Oh boy. All right. Let's talk about the real reason we're here. No, retiring is.
Yeah. Let's get to the episode. So we're headed to Del Mar. Kathy has planned a girl's trip.
Thank you, Kathy, for this season, by the way. Thank you, Kathy and Garza.
I was
Kathy
thinking about
Garza.
While I was watching this episode, I'm like, Kathy has absolutely fit every definition of a full-time housewife this season. And like, I think it's so funny that she clearly had no interest. Like, she did not want to be a housewife, but like, she had no problem actually like doing the job of a housewife.
She
and I think that's like a funny
assignment.
Yeah, it's just like funny because normally when we have friends of, it's a lot more like, oh, like they come to this thing but not to this thing. Like, they might go on one of the trips, but like they, and like this episode, it's like we have cameras filming in Kathy's house when nobody else is even there. Like she's really, I mean, she might as well be a housewife this season.
Yeah.
But so of course everyone's stressed out about packing to go on this trip because, you know,
oh
of course
my
they
God.
Are.
The first 20 minutes of this episode, I was having like agita. First of all, when Dorit called Kathy and Kathy just kept going, but she was literally just going through like her lipsticks and
Kathy's like trying on
clue.
All her makeup while Dorit's like, Dorit's in the phone. Like, yeah. So, you know, then Garcelle is talking and Kathy's like doing the lip line. I'm like, uh-huh, babe. Yeah.
Dorit
is one of those. PK like, has said this, but like, Dorit, you could put the phone down for an hour and you pick it back up and Dorit would still be talking.
100%. Dorit kind of to me is like latching on to Kathy in a good way, but because Kathy knows exactly how to like, I don't want to say handle, but handle her. Like even at all the dinners, Kathy is the one who is like, okay, like Dorit, please Dorit. And she does it this episode too. But I don't know if Dorit is also calling Kathy because she knows Kathy will listen as opposed to like any of the other women who she knows will not listen to her speak.
Yeah, I feel like Kathy is very aspirational for Dorit. Like, Dorit likes to think of herself as, like, you know, kind of like on the same level of as Kathy. Like, that's appealing to her.
Yeah.
And I think Kathy is a little bit like, oh, well, like, I like the girl, but I mean.
Right.
I mean.
Wait, so, like, they're all caravanning. They're all meeting at Kyle's house, and they're, like, all taking separate cars for what reason, I don't know, because I feel like a few of them definitely could have carpooled. But, like, them being in Kyle's driveway reminded me of being at, like, a wedding venue. And, like, the valet guys are, like, figuring out what to do with all the cars. And they are, like, running around. Of course, Kyle's dogs get out, because what episode has that, like, not happened in where they're, like, meeting somewhere? And, like, Kathy
leaves. There's, like, a car stuck in the gate. Like, yes. It was a lot happening.
Kathy leaves her bag at home because, like, duh. And I don't know about you, but I was this scene was, she couldn't call because her phone was in her bag. So Kyle called, and it's like, Kathy has so many people working for her in her home that she doesn't even know her name. So they called the lady. And she met them on the 405 in Sunset. Like, this whole scene was like, holy shit. Wouldn't it have been easier for Kathy to go home and get her bag? Or probably not, because she would have been there for, like, a long time.
It was a little cringe to me that we kept referring to this woman as the lady and never, you know, figured out her name or corrected that. Because it's like, to me, it's like a little bit like Ramona Singer and The Help. It's like, figure out the woman's name. Like, it's one thing if it takes you a second to remember, but, like, they were, like, labeling her the lady on the screen. And, like, when she talked, they, like, did the caption, the lady. And it's like,
exactly.
It's one thing. Like, it was a little funny the first second when she's like, the woman who works at my house. But it's like,
I was just going to say that it was funny at first, but then I was like, wait, how don't you know her name? Like, I almost feel like that's very rude, because she's, like, your employee. Like, she works and does all this stuff for you. So they met them. And, like, when Kyle, this part was cringy to me when Kyle kept going, no, Mrs. Hilton. I was like, are you guys serious? Like, now I was like, what year are we in?
Yeah. I love Kathy's, like, quirkiness, and I think she's hilarious, but this was one of those moments where I'm like, it's a little out of touch. Like,
well, and then also when later on, again, fast forwarding, when Garcelle was like, have you ever walked into a room and felt like, you know, not.
Oh my God.
And Kathy was like, yes, I have. I was like, Kathy, no.
Kathy, without missing a beat, is like, yes, I have. No, and, like, Kathy. I was half expecting Garcelle to be like, when? But Garcelle is, like, more, she's like more cool, calm, and collected than that. But yeah, we'll get to that. So we go to Del Mar. This hotel is, like, it seems like a very, like, large, grand, stately kind of hotel. And it seems also like there is no one else staying there. These empty, long hallways, just, I don't know. I don't love the vibe.
It looked beautiful. Like, I would have no problem staying there. But yeah, first, like, when he was walking Garcelle to her room and she was like, so, like, busy. And he was like, well, like, not really. And they, like, panned to, like, the pool and everything. And, like, there was no one there, but she's so right. Like, it was straight out of The Shining. Like, all those, and they kept, all of them kept talking about the long hallways, and they were like, am I going to know how to get out? Which way do I go? And I was like, wait, this is supposed to be, like, romantic, and they're, like, giving me really creepy vibes. Now I'm scared. They did not give that place good publicity. That's for sure.
I know, but the grounds do look beautiful. And the first day we start with a pop-up picnic, which Kathy clearly, like, heard that somewhere and has gotten it in her head that this is, like, a fun thing to do, because she says pop-up picnic about 6 times in a row. And it actually is lovely. I have to say, this looks nicer than any beach picnic we've ever seen on Below Deck. That's for sure. I mean,
if Kathy Hilton is hosting anything, especially even a picnic, I would imagine it be nicer than anything we've seen before. But she also, like, even during the, oh my God, what was the thing called with the drums? Why did I just totally blank on what that?
Oh, the sound.
The sound bath. She kind of, as much as I love Kathy, when she hosts things like that, it kind of like scares me a little bit because she's like such a perfectionist that I feel almost like on like edge. If something goes wrong, she's very like quick to to be like mad or something. So it really just like, I get like nervous when she hosts things because I hope that everything goes smoothly.
That's what I thought was so funny too, with the dinner on the first night, how she says, oh, dinner's at 8 and the place cards are already ready. And then she and Kyle are like over an hour late to dinner. I'm like, wait, you were like worried about the place cards, but you didn't like, I was shocked that they were that late to dinner at the hotel.
I know. And again, continued agita for me. They were both running around back and forth there. They needed hairspray. They needed lipstick. They needed the mask. It's like, guys, you're going to dinner with your castmates who you see every day and you're not leaving the place. It's a lot for me. It's just like, get ready and go.
Yeah.
Just go.
Kyle was stressing me out this whole episode.
Yes. Like it was a lot.
You need to take a chill pill. But I do feel for Sutton, whose ankle is badly sprained. She, after getting to the hotel in Del Mar, she has to go to the ER. They do an x-ray. They put her on crutches and she also has a wheelchair.
She cannot be on it for a week.
Right. She can't put any weight on it for a week. It's just like rough to be on a group trip and like have to be dealing with this. And like, it just makes her... It's kind of sad because I just feel like it's like every event she like shows up to and you're like, oh, Sutton in the crutches. Like that's rough. And then like, I don't know. I'm like pitying her.
Oh, no pity over here. No, I mean, I do. I get like, it's again with the long hallways, like she couldn't walk and like Garcelle's being a really good friend, like beyond making sure that she's like wheeling her everywhere and taking care of her, but it's also uncomfortable. Sutton's uncomfortable being there like in general. So now I feel like it's even more. And we did see Erica be like, is that Sutton in a wheelchair? But yet she didn't ask like if she's okay or anything while they were walking up to dinner, but maybe they cut that out. Who knows?
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
At the picnic, this is while Sutton is at the hospital, so she's not there. They're talking sort of, so Tom is having this competency hearing and they kind of get back on the subject of Sutton supposedly calling Erica a liar, which rolling the footage back, we sort of see that she said that Erica lied about something. I think if you want to nitpick, she never really called Erica a liar, whatever, semantics. But Dorit is kind of trying to get some more clarity about the car accident story. And she brings up Tom being unconscious for 12 hours. And Erica says, yeah, allegedly. And it's like, the women are kind of like, wait. Like, how is it alleged? Like, this is the story that you told us.
Right. Like, you can't say allegedly from the news that it came from you. And you can't say allegedly the second time because you already said
right.
it.
Because before she was portraying it as this was the story all along. And the reason I said something else was because I was protecting him. So like for her to now be acting like it's just like a possible explanation, it's like, it's not actually really what you made it sound like before. And then of course, Erica then says that Sutton should be threatened.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
That was the kind of thing where I felt like everybody was kind of just like,
to me,
like,
can we not
like,
that was petty, that law. Like when she said that was petty. It was like, and you know, like they're all, the women are all like, Kathy brings up the tension, which she's good at doing. And they like, Erica really is like doors closed. But at the same time, you see her being like asking questions, or she talked to her a few weeks ago. And like next episode, we see her gonna like converse with Sutton. So it's like, be a little, you don't have to be friends with her. No one is telling you have to be friends with her, but you're at this point not even being cordial. She was like, why are you even speaking to me right now? Like, and it's like, Erica, because you're at a table with women, like having dinner, you know, like she's not asking you what you're doing next weekend. She's just like simply having a conversation. But even Dorit, again, as Erica's friend said in like her confession, she was like, Erica is just making it. Like, she's like, I want to believe Erica, but she's like, she's making it so difficult to do with what she's choosing to say.
And at the dinner later, when Sutton and Erica are talking to each other, I feel like Sutton still is coming from a place of wanting, you know, she doesn't want to be Erica's enemy. She doesn't want to be seen as the villain. She doesn't, you know, she just wants to get some things clear. And, you know, I don't think she's wrong about Erica, maybe whether you want to say lying or whether you want to say, you know, there were some things that didn't add up. But yeah, Erica is taking it to a very sort of like personal place of like, yeah, the why are you talking to me? Like, I don't care what you think. Like, I think Erica is wanting Sutton's intentions to be worse than they are. And so I think for Sutton, it's kind of like she's just kind of like, all I was trying to do was like this. And Erica's just not really receptive to that, which is, I mean, it is what it is. I think at this point, it's almost like, yeah, like why bother? Like, I think Sutton should probably just let the door be closed. She says she doesn't want to knock, but then she kind of does.
Yeah, she was like, should I knock? Garcelle's like, I wouldn't knock on that door. And in that moment,
knock on the door.
I actually felt for Sutton in that moment because she was like, she really is taking the high road. And she's like, I want to just let her know that I didn't mean it. She just went about it the wrong way originally. And she's willing to not apologize, but like fix it. And it's just good for her for continuing to try, but I don't know where it's going to get her. I really don't. Nowhere so far.
And then also at this dinner, we have Garcelle sort of being put into this hot seat again, because, you know, Rinna still has this, she now is saying that if Garcelle doesn't feel supported in the group, maybe Garcelle needs to be a better friend. And that felt really sort of out of left field to me, because I think Garcelle is not necessarily super close with a lot of the women in the group, but I've never gotten the sense that she's like unfriendly or anything like that.
No.
And the only real example that Rinna uses is that Garcelle didn't know when Kyle's birthday was, which to me is like, I don't know when anyone's birthday is. Like, we're adults. Like, you're not like getting invited to their birthday party and bringing cupcakes. Like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't, that's like a weird thing to like put emphasis on to me.
Yeah. And yeah, Reno said that Garcelle should be honest because she's a little shady. And I was like, that's not a word I would use to describe Garcelle. I do not think she's shady. However, if Rinna feels that way about their friendship because they've, you know, been at it for a little while, I still don't think Garcelle has been shady to Rinna. I think they're just butting heads a little bit and working through it. But I don't think Garcelle has been shady in the slightest to any of the other women, but I really loved that conversation because Garcelle even said the fact that she was vulnerable and able to open up, like maybe they're able to make strides with these women and they're able to see. Of course, then we had like her ask that question and Kathy chimed in, but that wasn't the point.
I would say if anything, Garcelle has been shady to Dorit, maybe just because some of the comments and stuff that she made, like she's acknowledged, like, yeah, I made digs at her, like whatever. But yeah, like the whole Rinna's whole attitude this season of, you know, like telling people they need to be honest and whatever, but only when it suits her kind of trajectory within the cast. It's like, it really feels tired at this point. Like, I feel like 3 or 4 seasons ago when Rinna was always telling people to own it and stuff, like it was fun and that was like her thing, but now it just feels so like she picks and chooses when to be this like crusader for truth, and it's like it's not a good look. And like the way that she has been so like riding hard for Erica, and like it just looks like she, I don't know, it's like it's just hard to understand like why she seems so one-sided this season when it's like, you have different friendships with all of these women. Like Sutton came on the show as your friend and you've like said that you've been friends with Garcelle for all of these years. And yet for whatever reason, it feels like the only person in the cast that Rinna actually feels like a sense of responsibility to be loyal to is Erica. And I don't really understand that. Like, I would understand if she wanted to be impartial or if she wanted to, you know, like support Erica, but the way she seems so dead set on not, you know, supporting anyone else just feels like kind of, that feels shady to me.
Right. And we've also seen this as a repeat action with Rinna in past seasons too, like Denise and like with Eileen, I'm not sure if she really like fought with, but she was always like needs someone to be her like sidekick, I guess.
Yeah. It's like she kind of has a habit of either bringing someone on the show or being friends with somebody when they come on the show and then sort of leaving them out to dry after a season or two. And that definitely happened with Denise. Like you were saying with Eileen, it's like, I don't know if anything that extreme happened, but like, I feel like Eileen probably didn't feel like Rinna was like super buddy buddy with her by the end. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just think she seems like so, she like goes wherever the wind blows. And this season, clearly she has decided that she's going to be like Erica's diehard. And it's just like a weird look to me. I don't know.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we've figured this out before, but if you think about her sticking up for Erica this season, other than that, like, what is her specific storyline this season?
She doesn't have storylines.
She doesn't like, have one.
She never does. Like, I mean, even like last season, I remember until like there was so much of like Delilah's or like Amelia's looking for an apartment and, you know, like she's like made her daughters such big parts of her storyline in the past. And it's like her storyline or like her role has always been sort of like this, you know, pot stirrer, truth teller, whatever. And this season, I think with so much going on, it's like, Rinna isn't actually the one helping to move the story forward at all this season. It's been all Erica, Sutton, Dorit, Garza. I mean, honestly, pretty much everyone, I think, but Rinna, and maybe like Crystal hasn't been like that active in the plot, but like everybody else basically has really been like churning out these like crazy scenes and stuff. And I feel like Rinna has kind of been the most stagnant because she's just been like, Team Erica the whole time.
To be honest, Crystal like wasn't even in this episode. And I was sad about that.
Yeah, Chris, I feel like Crystal's been like taking a little bit of a backseat recently, which isn't, I don't think is necessarily a problem. I'm interested to see like how she is at the reunion.
I'm so excited for this reunion.
I know. Like, I can't wait, but also I don't want the season to be over. So
I know. I know.
Okay. But so then the episode ends with Erica calling a meeting with Rinna and Kyle the next day after she skips the sound bath.
Okay. Wait, but after the sound bath, when Kyle like calls, when it's again, Kyle, Rinna and Dorit, that part like annoyed me because I was like, you just got a text from Erica. The article is out in the public. Like, why again? I was never like, oh, it's always the three of them. But and then now it's becoming more clear. Like, so the Kathy, Garcelle and Sutton like went into the hotel, or whatever. And they were just like, yeah, like and whispering about the conservatorship. But it's like you could have said that like in front of everyone. They're all wondering where Erica is. I don't know. That annoyed me. It was like you don't have to like be sketchy in the corner reading the text message.
Right. It's funny that Erica will like skip the group event because of this thing, but then immediately have Rinna and Kyle come to her room and film this conversation. It's like, okay, whatever.
Say, and she went to dinner the night before. She let us know that she knew last night. So why couldn't you go to the sound bath?
Right. Like all you have to do is lay there.
Like, I would have liked to do
but
that.
So, yeah. So there's been like this recommendation for Tom to go to like a mental care facility. Yeah. And Erica really doesn't want that because she saw that happen with her grandma and she knows how people get treated in places like that. And this was I thought this was like a really interesting scene because it was different kind of than the way we've seen Erica talk about Tom like for the last little while, that she still feels like she has sort of a responsibility or like an emotional connection to like caring what happens to him. And she also points out that his kids and like, you know, everybody else in his life, it's like, where are they? Like now that he can't, you know, do anything for them, they've sort of like left him in the lurch. And like, this was one of those moments where I did feel like it was like, okay, this is like human emotion of Erica caring about someone and like wanting them to get the help they need. And it was nice to see more of that side, because especially now seeing this video of Tom, I'm like, I really do believe that he is like
not
struggling.
Well. Yeah. Right. And she said, regardless of like what's happening legally, I was still married to this person for 22 years. And it's like human right. decency to not like let someone, you know, have no one. And that was really sad. Like the, what she was saying about like his kids. Cause she's like, well, he's, they don't need him. What they, and I was like, that's so sad. Like, it's still like their father. So like, you only needed them for his money. But she said, like, you want to know who your real friends are? Like, go broke. I was like, I feel like I've heard that before from like many people. But
and in the preview for next week's episode, she tells Kyle that she has $0. And I'm like,
also, like, what is Kyle supposed to react to that? Because Kyle has like a lot of dollars.
Right. Kyle's sitting there like, oh, like, do you want one of my do you want one of my Chanel bags?
Oh my God. It's just like, it's crazy because she said like it's a lot. Like you see her showing up with her like Tiago, and like she, it's weird because in general, when you look at someone's life like that, you're like, oh shit, okay, like 180. And that, because people are like, if you say 360, it's just a full circle. So 180. But then if you look at like obviously the grand scheme of things, you're like, okay, I don't feel that bad. But now again, next week, you're like, okay, she has no money. Like that, that is right, like terrible.
Zero, like $0.
Like negative. Am I richer than Erica? Am I richer than Erica?
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Next up, Kathy Hilton. I'm coming for you.
Oh my God. For Kathy's sake, I hope not. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen. And you can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.